everybody. Welcome back to Arcade Cozy, the coziest game room on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And we are coming back at you mere a day after the Key Threes, the Summer Game Fest,
Summer of Keeley?
The Summer of Keeley. It's been like it's a multiple weeks long sort of thing.
Yeah.
The big like event that they did yesterday. They did that. They showed stuff. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the stuff they showed, Corey.
Yes, sir. Yes, we are.
Yeah. Corey, last week we started off coming out of the state of play with a grade rating. I'm going to pose it back to you. Summer Game Fest, off the cuff, what is your grade that you were giving it?
So this is off the cuff. I'm disappointed by it, but I think at the same time I have to give it like a B.
Yeah.
Maybe just a flat B, because overall, I mean, they told us ahead of time, don't expect a ton of new announcement. We're just updating you and showing off stuff from previously announced games, which is exactly what they did. They showed off tons of stuff, and a lot of stuff is coming this year. A lot of it is. And so nothing super excited me, I would say, because the big stuff that has been announced, nothing was really shown off, or like none of that was shown today. Where we saw we saw like Midnight Suns. Yeah. We saw some new Gotham Knights stuff. I'm kind of blanking at the moment. What else did we see? Chris, you have to help me.
Did you see they're making a new The Last of Us game, Corey?
What?
Again? It's coming back. They showed really 75% of the things. If you were to just say, hey, was that Dead Space? You'd probably be at least halfway right, because there was a lot
But you're still wrong every time.
You're still wrong every single time, but you're at least part of the way there, because they showed so many, and I mean so many space horror games.
It's like the entire industry is listening, like, hey, people really, really liked Dead Space. It didn't sell well by any means, but people really liked it. It's a cult classic. What if we all just made that? And they did.
Yeah. And they, we can dive in a little bit. Like, I was probably a little more, I guess, overall disappointed. I mean, I didn't go into it. I saw the same sort of stuff. Like, I wasn't going into it anticipating these huge reveals, but I also was not anticipating how like disinterested I would be in most of the stuff that was shown.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it being because of the fact that there was that kind of like overall tone of, we are putting out a lot of space horror. Now, like, that being said, I played Dead Space 2. That's the only Dead Space I played.
Proud of you.
I really like Dead Space 2, but it's also like, I mean, it's also, I have a threshold with horror games. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
It's tough. And even Dead Space 2, like, you know, spoilers somewhat for like a however many year old game. I mean, there's a whole section in there where you're going into like the preschool, and they're like, you know, zombie babies that are trying to lure you. Stuff like, I mean, there's all that kind of stuff. Like, it's really super creepy. And so like, seeing all of these games, I mean, kind of like, I don't know if this is all of them, but like, there's Aliens Darkest Descent, which is another Aliens game, space horror. There's
interesting
Callisto
concept.
Protocol. Yeah. Yeah.
We saw gameplay of Callisto Protocol.
Yeah.
Looks exactly
Callisto
like
Protocol, which is basically Dead Space. You had Fort Solace, which is a Troy Baker and a guy what played Arthur Morgan in Red Dead 2. Like, they're in that. There's a game called Routine, which is like Dead Space, but this time instead of zombies, it's robots. And then it legitimately was a thing where it's like, this is the overall theme of things. It's going to be dark. Yes. It's going to be gritty. And that's a little less of my thing now. And I think like, you know,
it's a lot of not of my thing.
Yeah. Well, and here's something. I'll kind of like dig into it a little bit more whenever we talk about some of what we've been playing on the back end. But like, you know, I've been playing a game recently that like is making me realize how much I've moved away from certain types of games in my gaming, like kind of just library. And so seeing a lot of games that are focused on, okay, it's really dark, gritty over here. And then like, we're going to make this big to do about a new Call of Duty. And we're going to like, a lot of that stuff is really not where I want to be putting in my gaming time right now. And I think a lot of it has to do with like, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. And to some extent, like it's nice to play something that's bright. And even if it's not like, even if the tone of it is dark, you know, having something that just is not like also visually dark and can like, is something that you can see a lot of like creativity and vibrant color palettes and things like that. And there just wasn't a ton of that. And that was kind of the disappointing thing for me.
Yeah.
That like Callisto Protocol looks great. Doubt I'll play it because I am a wuss boy. Same thing with like Fort Solus and a lot of this stuff. Looks really good. Looks really cool. Definitely, I walked away from it just being like, this wasn't for me. Felt like this show was very much like, there wasn't a whole lot for me to take away from it. There were a couple things, though. You know, I don't know what you kind of had on your plate, but I can kind of lean into it a little bit. Probably like the brightest looking game that I saw out of it that I really, really enjoyed was a game called American Arcadia. So I'm not like super familiar with the devs, but they made a game called Call of the Sea a little while back that I remember hearing about and remember seeing stuff about. But American Arcadia looks like one of these, it's bright, it's perfect utopia. We live in this bright city, but then like, you know, it's really not. And this guy's trying to escape from it and they're trying to hunt him down. It's like a Truman Show or like something like that, where it's just like, he's living a lie in this big manufactured, you know, environment kind of thing. That's that looked really neat. I think it's like a 2D platformer, something like that, like stealth platformer, whatever. That was really appealing to me. And like most of the other stuff that I was really into was also kind of in that same vein. Like even though like I'm not a huge Genshin Impact fan, like the Hoyoverse stuff they showed off, like Zenless Zone Zero and some of that other stuff looked really neat. Also never played Cuphead, but you know, Cuphead's whole DLC thing looks cool, looks great, always neat. Yep. Mm-hmm. What was something that stood out to you? Like, was there anything that you like looked at and you were like, okay, this is my jam? Like this is the thing that I'm taking away from this.
I don't know if there was anything I saw that I was like, oh, this is my jam, but probably the thing that, I don't know, piqued my interest the most was High Water. I like overall the tone of it, the color of it, and kind of just from a stylistic point, I'm like, this seems like a very relaxing game that I can dig into, that I can just kind of lay back, enjoy it. It's not super, like, from what I saw, we're looking at, if you like this survival horror stuff, like, you got a whole kettle of tea to drink there. I mean, take your pick. There were other games that piqued my interest, such as, like, Midnight Suns.
Yep.
But we haven't seen any gameplay from that, unless I missed it. But it's all been, like, CGI, like, animated cutscenes. I'm like, okay, what is this game? Is this, like, a... Are we looking at like Marvel's Avengers like style, or are we looking at like a top down, like moving around, something like a Dragon Age where, you know, it's yep. you do, this character does this, character does that. And so I'm reserving a lot of judgment till then. And so of all the things I was shown, some high water in games of this like almost indie nature, I'm like, I hate to tagline it as an indie, but it seems as it had the most character. If that makes yeah. sense. Everything yeah. else felt very formulaic, very like similar to what was being shown around. And it was one of the few things I was sitting there because I was working while I was watching it, where I kind of just like sat up, watched the whole thing. I'm like, you know what? I'm in. I'm sold. That like, give it to me.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
I'm going through High the water, list now.
Yeah. High water looked really good. Really interesting. Looked kind of, looked legitimately like it could deal with some heavy stuff. Cause I mean, if anybody listening didn't see it, it's, like a post-war, post-apocalypse kind of
post-apocalypse, but semi-functioning society after the apocalypse.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, it's very bright, but a lot of that has to do, like, it's, I think it's a lot of commentary on like climate change and stuff because yeah. it's like, you know, this catastrophic flooding and, you know, you're basically living in a now sea-based society and it looks like yeah. it'll deal with heavy things. But it's very bright, like looks very creative in a lot of the scope and looks really neat. Going back to Midnight Suns, I'm not sure whenever they initially announced it. I feel like they showed a gameplay trailer or something. But
I've missed it if they have.
They do have, they do have some like gameplay videos. They didn't show it here, but they do have some gameplay videos that you can find out, like that are,
okay.
were at the press. But Midnight Suns, again, for anybody who's not aware, is a Marvel thing that they're doing that's being made by the developers of XCOM for Firaxis. Mm-hmm. So Midnight Suns is supposed to be like an XCOM-ish type of game. It is like, you know, not isometric, but just like it's a right. strategy kind of thing. The big thing that they're supposed to be doing differently is that there is a card-based system. So from what I understand, the thinking there being like, you know, rather than it being, okay, you're playing as Wolverine and every single turn you can either like stab or you can jump and stab or you can like dash and stab swipe or whatever. Like it's just yeah. the same stuff. They wanted it to be like every turn is new. Like you gotcha. have these powers that are coming up. And from what I understand, it's supposed to, since it's not, because XCOM focuses a lot on cover. It focuses yeah. a lot on like, you know, using the terrain and like height advantages and things like yeah. that. With this, it's supposed to be a lot more like, there's less of that, but there's a lot more like environmental combos and stuff where it's like, okay, you're playing as Spider-Man and he's like, he's going to hit you with the web and then sling you over into this other thing right. and do yeah. extra damage, whatever. Like it, honestly, Midnight Suns is the thing that is the most exciting to me. Like,
okay.
I have a lot of Marvel fatigue after just all of the Marvel stuff. So like,
yes,
I, despite enjoying plenty of Marvel properties, I'm just like, Marvel is not a selling point for me now. Like a game yeah. coming out that's just like, oh, it's a Marvel game, that's not going to do it for me. But for one, loved XCOM, all about that. Loved deck builders, so I'm also all about that. but I mean, like, I'm excited at the idea of just kind of like that level of strategy, doing something a little bit differently in that space. And I saw, I saw a little bit of like, commentary gameplay of, I think they were fighting a villain, Fallen Venom, which I'm not super familiar with. Yep. Mm-hmm. But they were fighting him and like, you know, it looked neat. Like it looked like there was a lot of neat strategy and stuff like that. So I'm excited about that. I think it, could be a lot of fun and comes out in October, which is nifty and exciting.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's one of those things where it's like, okay, here's a game coming very soon. It's great.
Yep.
It's great to see. Another thing that kind of caught my attention was the One Piece game in the style of Dragon Quest.
Yep.
And I think that's mainly what caught my attention. I'm like, oh, that looks like Dragon Quest. Oh, that's One Piece. Wait. And I kind of just, you know, you kind of just sit there for a second like, wait, what's happening right now?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm sold. You know what? Let's give this bad boy a go. I'm kind of curious to see what they do. I don't know a ton about One Piece. I watched like the first two seasons when I was younger.
Yeah.
But other than that, I know it's a show that has just gone on for forever. One of my friends, he has watched quite literally every episode from the beginning. Oh yeah. He's committed. And so again, I don't know a ton about the source material, but I'm like, okay, how is this going to be its own independent story wrapped into a game? Or is this like an early, like, saga of, the manga that's being like adapted to this? Like what's happening here? I don't care too much about that because I think I'm in regardless, but I'm just more curious to see kind of the direction that they're taking this. I'm in.
Yeah.
They have a lot to work with.
Yeah. From what I've seen, it looks like it is a new original story created by the original creator. So the original creator is creating an original story for this game.
That's awesome. That's really cool, actually.
Yeah. I'm also very excited about the One Piece JRPG. I think I saw something on it like maybe a month or two back. There were kind of like some previews that were popping up.
Okay.
I saw it and was just super hyped for it because it does like, I mean, there have been a couple of One Piece, like interesting One Piece games. There was like the World something recently where Spider-Man open world game because you could like swing, you could use Luffy's like stretchy arms and use it to like swing between buildings and stuff. And I've heard that like a number of those games have been really good, but I think the thing that's really interesting for me and like is just, yeah, like you said, like One Piece, it's the longest running like current manga series, I think. I mean, at least shonen series.
Yeah.
And so in that regard, like it's kind of impenetrable. I've watched a little bit, I've read some of the manga, but it is one of those things where it's like, okay, like if you really want to know the stuff that's going on, you have to be invested in the long haul. And so having something, I know that this isn't going to dig into the bigger, wider story. But the fact that it is kind of like an entry into that and that it is like, at least seems like could be a really neat, stylish JRPG. Like that's really exciting to me because it'll give me a taste of like, okay, now I can actually experience some of One Piece for the first time.
That's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah. Which is not an easy thing to do.
No.
And because I think One Piece, I mean, in general has a really neat style, like a really neat story and really neat lore. It's just it's difficult,
it's
to
so massive
to start. Right.
Yeah.
Should
we talk about the elephant in the room?
Neon White comes Neon out next White? Week.
Yeah that one. It's pretty great.
Also excited about Neon White a little bit. I mean, legitimately, like Neon White, like I haven't been, but it looks neat. It's also card-based thing, and it's supposed to be like a speed runner type thing, but looks kind of cool. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, Corey, how did you feel about The Last of Us?
I mean, I think it's. I am conflicted. Because my opinion of it is hypocritical, I think. So we have, for those who don't know, they're re-releasing The Last of Us the same way that they did for Skyrim and GTA 5. This is a PS3 game, now coming to PS5, but it's built from the ground up. Essentially with Last of Us Part 2 graphics and character models that they already had in the bag from what it seems like. thoughts on it is, why on earth am I paying $70 for a game that is free on the PlayStation Store right now if you're a PlayStation Plus member?
Yeah.
And a game that's, you know, not even a decade old at this point. Like, why? My biggest complaint isn't that it's being made, though. That is, like, maybe we should have given it, I don't know, another 5 years before we kind of pushed a remake of it. But, like, why are you charging me full price? But my counter argument to that is, well, I bought Demon's Souls for $70. That was a PS3 game. Granted, very different things when you think about it, but similar, like, concept in terms of old clunky game, very loved. Not Demon's Souls, not quite to the extent of The Last of Us, but, you know, a cult classic to say, completely remade from the ground up for PS5, and here we are.
Yeah.
Those are my initial thoughts.
Yeah. I think for me, I mean, just as a flat out, I don't care. Yeah. I really just don't.
Fair.
I mean, yeah. It's because here's the thing, like, so I have some family in town this week, and whenever it came up, like, one of them was like, did you see that they're remaking The Last of Us? Like, you know, that's kind of exciting. I'll play through it again. And I told him straight up, I was like, I mean, I don't care, because the reality is, like, okay, it's been 9 years since The Last of Us originally came out. Yep. And since then, we've had The Last of Us. We've had The Last of Us Remastered. We have had The Last of Us Part 2. Mm-hmm. We now have this remake. We have a Last of Us TV show that's being made that is the same as the original Last of Us. And it's like, at what point can I stop caring about experiencing the same story? Like, obviously, Last of Us Part 2, different thing. But, like, right. I've played through The Last of Us. I've played through The Last of Us Remaster. Like, I've played through The Last of Us originally, like, multiple times. It's a very good game. It's a
phenomenal game.
Right.
One of the best ever made. Like, truly. But
it's incredibly, I guess it's just disappointing to me that that's what the effort is going into. Is like, like, we have put in all this work into just bringing the original, like, giving some continuity to the original as we go into the second. Like, now, it's not just The Last of Us. It's The Last of Us Part 1. This is the, like, definitive edition that's feeding into Part 2. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, for somebody that's never played it, for somebody that this is their favorite game of all time and it's been a while, cool. But, like, the difference between that and, like, Demon's Souls, for instance, for one, like, Demon's Souls, between Demon's Souls and the Demon's Souls remake, it was, like, many Souls games. All of the Dark Souls games, Bloodborne, Sekiro, like, all of this stuff came out. Demon's Souls was very far in the background. Like, there were plenty of people who had never played it who had come into the series previously. Also, too, The Last of Us, I mean, it's not like it was this old game needing to be, like, re-updated. We had modern ways of playing it. We have, like, games that have, like, maybe it's not the quote-unquote definitive version, but it's nowhere near as, like, clunky or outdated as something like a Demon's Souls or like a Dead Space. I mean, like, Dead Space remake that's coming out, it's not like we just saw, like, a Dead Space collection hit the PS4, PS5 in the last couple of years. It's not like we just saw this, like, remastered version that brought it into 60 FPS. It's like, no, it's been 15 years. It needs a little bit of an update for people who have never really gotten to experience the story. And it's like, it feels like, it almost kind of feels like The Last of Us is just like, here is this one really good story that we told, and we want to remind you that we told a good story.
They're milking it.
Like, right. They're milking it to death. And it's like, it's disappointing because it's like, because I mean, like, in the time between the original Jack and Daxter and The Last of Us was roughly 10-ish years. And during that time, they created and ran through an entire Jack and Daxter series, an entire Uncharted series. and came up with The Last of Us. And then in the last 10 years, it's just been, okay, they've come out with 3 to 4 versions of the same Last of Us game and a second one. And that's it. And it's like, I mean, that's great. And if that's like, if that's the passion, like if that's what the whole team is just like, we want to keep modernizing and making this game better, then okay. I mean, you do you. That's that, it's your right and your decision. It just seems like I would much rather see like a new IP, a new something, like rather than just like, here's The Last of Us, which already still looks great. Let's just make it look a little bit better and charge you $70 for it.
Exactly. And, yeah, it's very frustrating. I mean, we both played The Last of Us before Part 2 came out. It ran just fine. Perfectly. Yeah. Like one of my friends, he played it recently. Multiple of my friends have played it recently, actually, because I've had this conversation a few times and they're all like, that's great. Like, I mean, they're like, yeah, it felt like an older game, but like nothing was like really awful about it, kind of a thing. Like, ran perfectly fine, perfectly smooth. Like, it's great. And yeah, it's just disappointing that I was going to make the same kind of point you made, that Naughty Dog went from churning out tons of games, all very good games, hit Last of Us, dropped Uncharted 4, Lost Legacy, Last of Us Part 2, and now they're like, we're going to remake this game. And it honestly just feels like a publicity, like marketing boost for before the show comes out next year, too. I'm just like, you know, whatever. But, I mean, this could be a topic for another day, but, and so, we both have PlayStations, we both play tons of games on our PlayStations, but I'm kind of sitting here a little tired with Sony's insistence on, I guess, bringing the past to life, because this is, okay, Last of Us Part 1, PS5, Demon's Souls, PS5, we had Shadow of the Colossus for PS4, they completely remade Spyro, Crash Bandicoot, all the games for the PS4 are getting PS5 bumps and improvements to be moved up to the PS5. I'm sure there's plenty of other games in there that are just slipping mind in the moment, but it's one of those things of like, okay, you know, we've done the song and dance with a lot of these games. Where's the new IPs? Like, where is their creative like juice at right now? Because right now you're just giving me not... Well, I'm not getting like a second helping of this like I am, but it's one of those things of like, okay, this has been there, done that. We know what this is. It's great that it's being like brought here, but it feels like it's being brought to modernization in place of something new, in place of something like fresh. And that's starting to get a taste in my mouth where I'm like, can we be done with like remasters and remakes for at least like 5 years? Please, like, let's just let Sleeping Dogs lie for a little bit, you know, work on some new projects, work on like kind of adding some fresh air into the industry and the community, and then kind of come back and start pulling some older games back in that deserve it. Not that The Last of Us Part 1 doesn't deserve it, but again, it's so soon, it feels forced. There's Factions that they said is coming out next year, and it was just like, you said Factions was coming out in like August after Part 2. Like, so that's two whole ass years where it sounds like you've just been remaking Part 1 this entire time, and now you're gonna... I can be on this train all day, Chris. It's just kind of frustrating. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, it's... Yeah. I mean, the multiplayer stuff, that's one thing. Like, it's supposed to have an original story. It's supposed to have its own thing. And that's the only thing. Like, I mean, if all Naughty Dog ever wanted to do was make stuff in the Last of Us universe, more power to you. Like, go ahead. But I can't continue to be excited about the same story being told over and over and over again.
Yep.
I mean, because it's the same thing with the show. Like, I mean, I think the show will be cool. Like, there's a lot of big name talent and all that kind of stuff. But like, I mean, they've come out and said like, this is supposed to be the most authentic video game adaptation ever. And it's like, well, why is that supposed to be exciting to me whenever I've played that game multiple times? Like, I'm so like, you're enticing me by saying, if you sit down and watch this, you will, I mean, it will be indistinguishable from the game that you played. And I was like, well, that's not interesting to me. Why don't you tell like What about in that like 20-year gap before The Last of Us, where like tell an original story with Joel?
I mean,
like you can do this. There's a lot of interesting stuff that you can potentially tell in this world. Have like a side story with Bill. Do something that is Bill. Just like original.
The worst and best character.
Do something like that's all I'm asking for is like, I don't care if Naughty Dog continues to go on The Last of Us train forever. Just like, I mean, at some point do give something else, like leave Joel and Ellie alone. Do something,
or at Stardew least like Valley esque with Tommy out west, like building up like Jackson. Like honestly, that's a great game right there.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Copyright.
I mean, yeah, it's tough. Just and because because it is a good game, and it is like it's great that there will be an even better version of it. But it's just yeah. I mean, I agree. Like Sony, it feels like is in this mode where there may be too afraid to take these risks. Like they're betting so much on these big franchises like God of War, Horizon, The Last of Us. And because of like Microsoft's dominance with these other developers, they're afraid of a misfire. They're afraid of taking that risk again and doing something that could potentially not be received super well. And that's disappointing. And maybe that's not true. I mean, there's going to be a Wolverine game coming out. There's going to be other stuff that's coming out down the road that is unique and is new, but it's not what it feels like now. It feels like they're really playing it safe and not making things interesting. So
I agree. And it's one of those things of like that when they do take the risk, they're absolute home runs. I mean, we have Death Stranding, which not a game for everyone, but I found incredibly, what's the word for it? Just an incredible game. That's the best way I can put it. Yeah. Loved it. Loved it death. We had Ghost of Tsushima, which was what every Assassin's Creed fan had been dying for a decade, essentially. And then we had Returnal. That was going to be my last one there. So 3, 8, almost maybe 9 out of 10 games of what would be their risk. And you're just kind of like, where's more of that? Come on. Like, you know, when you're taking these leaps of faith, you're sticking your landing. Like, I don't know, just be braver, be bold. That's all I got to say to them.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, there could be a lot of factors going into it, but I mean, that is at least like whenever it comes to some of those internal studios, like it does feel like things have been getting, at least over the last couple of years, maybe it's a COVID thing. Maybe there's,
I mean,
they're
it's
just
a phenomenal like, excuse.
Yeah. I mean, maybe well,
not even excuse reason.
Maybe they're just kind of pulling it back and they're like, okay, like we had these bigger plans, but we just need to like kind of push back. Who knows? That could be the reason.
Yeah.
And we're being unfair, but like that is how it's difficult. I think it's also reasonable to look at it and say like, okay, I get it. Totally understandable, but also I'm not going to be excited about this. Like this is also like, and I think that's fair to say is to look at it and just be like, yeah, this is also just not exciting. And you know, I do hope, you know, I saw some sort of like, not leak, but like a reported thing that's, God of War Ragnarok is supposedly due out in November. Like
I saw that too. And I'm like, that is a bold statement to make.
Yeah. I mean, I still would slap money down that it gets delayed. I would be very surprised if it did actually come out in November, but you know, who knows? So, I mean, they may have God of War. They had Horizon Forbidden West. They'll have all this stuff. Like they'll do just fine. But yeah, you know, I hope going into next year that we see some like really big swings and some new stuff and, you know, can get excited about something like new or something like, or at the very least, like bringing back something from, you know, the old date, bringing back a Sly Cooper, bringing back something where it's just like not a remake of the original one, just like make a brand new Sly Cooper, make a brand new something like. I don't care if you use an old IP, just do something new.
Here's the beauty of something like Sly Cooper is that you could essentially just make that an anthology series of like, here is Sly and the gang doing X heist. Like, you know, just essentially like their own.
Yeah.
It's treating it like James Bond almost, just of like, here's this own independent story. Anyway, this is still Sly Cooper and this own independent story.
It could straight up be like the Hitman 2016 was whenever it first came out, where it was like a season and it was like they were dropping a new map like once a month. Yeah. Like, oh,
I would do that. I would love that. Oh, give it to
that
me.
That would be wonderful.
Give the people what they want, Sony.
Yeah. I don't know. Couple other things that I guess one other thing that I saw that looked kind of neat. There was a game called Midnight Fight Express that I didn't see much on.
I don't know if I've heard of this.
It's supposed to be kind of like an isometric, almost like looks kind of John Wick. Esque, where it's like cel shaded and like really just stylish action.
I did see this.
Yeah, that looks kind of neat. I could get kind of excited about that. I don't know. I think there's a. I don't know what it's coming to. I know it's at least.
It's already out. It's like beta is out.
Okay.
Yeah, but the official game isn't out till August 23rd. Oh, that's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Oh, look at that. Say happy birthday, Mom. We're going to play Midnight Fight Express. sorry to jump all over the place. What about, because Netflix this week also had their like Geeked Week. They showed off. I mean, there's plenty of stuff that we could talk about, but they showed off a couple of games because they were kind of like highlighting they were going to release some games. Did you see any of those?
No, I have not. Let me...
No?
Just rattle them off to me while I'm pulling it up.
Let me see if I can find a list. So I have a couple that are pulled up. One, I think the big one that I had seen... something about was a game called Desta, The Memories Between, which is supposed to be like a, it's described as like Into the Breach meets like Dodgeball and Inception and stuff. But the interesting thing is, I don't know if it applies to this, but a couple of the ones that I saw explicitly did say they are like free to Netflix subscribers, which is kind of neat.
Interesting.
For people who are like, I mean, obviously Netflix subscribers, like being able to play these games. Okay, this is all over the place. Sorry, folks. This is great podcasting. It looks like they have a lot of like tie-in games to existing shows. So like,
we love tie-in games.
Well, there's like a Queen's Gambit chess game. There's a money heist game, it looks
What do you mean there's a Queen's Gambit chess game? You mean chess?
There's a chess game where you are playing, I guess, in the Queen's Gambit universe, but you're just playing chess.
Okay, so it's chess is what I'm hearing.
So let's see. I'm trying to, a lot of this happened today, like as we're recording or pre us recording, but they, I guess they're doing some tie-in games. They're going to have a Shadow and Bone RPG. They're going to have a Queen's Gambit chess, which is just chess.
It's just chess.
But in the world, they're going to have a money heist spinoff game. That's supposed to be maybe like an adventure game a la like, Halt or Telltale. And then there's also going to be a Too Hot to Handle game.
Wait,
where
what?
Where it's a dating show.
We were talking about a little bit ahead of time, but I would love a Peaky Blinders game.
Yeah.
I think that would be phenomenal, walking the streets of Industrial Revolution England doing Peaky Blinders gang hood rat-ish.
I I think it could be, yeah, something like that. I mean, if they did stuff like that, where they were like really investing in some of their properties and like coming out with that stuff, that could be really neat. But yeah, they also showed off some like original stuff. So there was a game called Lucky Luna, which is supposed to be coming out summer of this year. But it's supposed to, it's pixel art, 2D platformer puzzler. There's no jump button, who knows, but it's free for Netflix subscribers. Desta, which I mentioned, made by the developers of Monument Valley, which was that big, Apple puzzler for a while. There's a new Three Kingdoms game. If you ever played Three Kingdoms, or not Three Kingdoms, Kingdom Reigns, Reigns Kingdom, Kingdom Reigns. But it's a new Reigns based on the romancing the Three Kingdoms Chinese story.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's a Reigns game, but it's set in that universe. And then, let's see. Terra Nil from Devolver Digital, strategy city builder where you fight off climate change, which honestly could be really cool. I like city builders a lot.
Where I fight off climate change. I'm already trying to do that. What do you mean you want me to keep...
And then a game called Poinpea, which is a Doodle Jump-esque platformer from the developer of Downwell. Keep going higher and higher. Okay. So it looks like there's a combination of... Okay, so there's a combination of a lot of things. There is some... Netflix is coming out with some, like, game adaptations of some of their shows. There are a couple of original things. And then it looks like... there are a couple of like mobile ports. So there's like a match three thing that's coming, but there's also like Spiritfarer apparently is coming to Netflix games.
I mean, that's a great game. I love Spiritfarer.
Yeah. So it looks like there's also a couple of games getting ported over too, which is kind of interesting.
You know what? Honestly, would be a great game for Netflix to make, you know, if they went, well, what's that show? The Witcher? If they went and did a game on that, I think that would be
pretty
good.
What's that show? You know that could be really good. You know, they're also coming out with a new cyberpunk series. It'd be neat if they made a game based on the off of cyberpunk. You know,
I think especially one that launched it at when it at time was playable. Oh man! Wouldn't that be something?
That would be. But honestly, like I'm excited. I'm kind of excited about it. I mean, it's, I don't know. Netflix is a weird thing just because like, I mean, a lot of people
bleeding money right now.
They're kind of, I mean, they haven't made the best case for themselves whenever it comes to like sticking with them. Like I have them
blockbustering themselves.
Yeah. I have them largely because like, I mean, in all honesty, because a lot of the shows that like my daughter watches are exclusively on Netflix. And I mean, that's just kind of what it is. But like whenever it comes to me and my wife, like we're not watching a ton of shows on Netflix anymore. A lot of them are on Hulu or HBO Max or, you know, whatever. Like it's not, we're not Amazon really going Prime to Netflix. Has
a good, surprisingly good selection of shows as well.
Yeah. And so like, honestly, like, yeah, I mean, if Netflix wants to venture into this space and do something like this where they have, again, they need to, in my mind, at least some of them need to be original. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to come to Netflix for this same, like, sort of thing that, like, Stadia was, where it was like, okay, this is just another way for you to be able to play your games within the subscription. Like, if they can give me a legitimate way, like, or a legitimate like reason where it's like, hey, here's this really cool indie that's only going to be on Netflix. You have to like, it's free with a subscription. Yeah. I mean, I'm all about it. I'm all about them like doing something like that and having that sort of thing. Because like, I mean, it's the same. It's a similar thing with like, Apple Arcade. Like Apple Arcade is, like there's plenty of stuff on there that I'm not super interested in, but there's plenty of stuff that makes me come back and like re-up my subscription now and then, because there's just like, there's some cool stuff on it. They've made some neat original stuff that you can only get on that platform. And it makes me want to come back and like play it every now and then.
Yeah. No, and they definitely have some work to do, I think, in gaining people's trust. I think they need to, they quite frankly need to change up their, like, showing model, just in general, of how their release model. There's a lot of things that they need to change, and this could be a good step in the right direction for them, kind of venturing out and, like, pushing the bounds of what they can do.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, they kind of need to before they just upend themselves, because they're getting close with all the price raising, no password sharing, XYZ. It's just kind of one of those things of, like, there's plenty of spots where people can go away from you now. Like, you essentially created the streaming industry and empire, but you will be the first to go under at this rate.
So we'll see. But I mean, a couple of those games are coming out here in the next couple of months. So,
They also announced a Dragon Age show and a new Castlevania. Both look very good. Very excited for the Dragon Age show. A little disappointed again, because it's one of those things of, like, so that's what you've been doing, BioWare? You've been making a Netflix show while we've all been waiting for the new Mass Effect and the new Dragon Age? To each their own. I'm pumped for new Castlevania. I really enjoyed Trevor Belmont's time with the Castlevania series. That's a phenomenal, like, four-season show, wraps itself up, I think, pretty tidily, pretty well. And so I'm pumped to see kind of what they do with Richter's story.
It's exciting. But yeah, Corey, I mean, I think there's maybe, like, another week of some light announcements kind of coming.
Well, there's Xbox and Bethesda stuff on Monday.
Okay.
And so that's what it is. I'm sure we're going to see some Starfield gameplay, even though it's been delayed. I'd be shocked if we didn't see Starfield gameplay. What else could they really be? Xbox is, this is their own, like, state of play as well, but they're also just saying that they're doing Bethesda stuff. So who knows what it could all be.
And I mean, it could be, I mean, there could be a ton of stuff, just considering the fact that they have Bethesda, they have Activision Blizzard, they have, I mean, all of these companies. Yeah. I mean, there could be plenty of things that they're
Overwatch 2.
Like, I mean, legitimately, who knows? I don't know. We could be talking about a bunch of Xbox stuff next week. Yeah. But yeah, Corey, I want to hear about what you've been playing and finishing up and doing, sir.
Yeah. So last week we talked a little bit. Well, past 2 weeks, I guess we kind of talked about Citizen Sleeper, but I had finished it as of a couple nights ago. I stayed up not super late, about midnight, and finished it. And man, what a gem of a game. Mm-hmm. I think as of now, it'll definitely fall into, like, my top 10 GOTY list for sure this year.
Good deal.
Loved it. Again, we kind of talked about it. It's a simple little narrative adventure. You get your diet at the beginning of the game, and you kind of just explore this city in space. And there isn't too much to it, but I found the narrative very compelling. And I think you posted about it today, talking about just, like, the quick, like, loops where you can easily find yourself in, like, okay, let me do another cycle and, like, another cycle, slowly progressing other characters' stories, slowly progressing your own story and kind of figuring out, like, it's a wonderful game of what it means to be alive and what it means to be a person and, like, how does that defined. And just kind of constantly throughout, I was blown away by, like, the writing style, how well it connected to me as I was playing it, of just, like, these seemingly ordinary events and, like, stories just, like, pulling tons and tons of emotion out of me, just because it's very heartfelt, very melancholic, I think is the best way I can describe it. Just a great gem of a game. I think I finished it at, like, 8 hour mark. If you haven't played it, you should absolutely play it if that's kind of your style, if you like the narrative based storytelling. Phenomenal game. Loved it.
I love it. Yeah. Citizen Sleeper was very, I mean, it's a sleeper hit, Corey.
That is
the definition.
I've seen plenty of people talk about it, but I don't think it's getting the love it deserves because that is a phenomenal game. Do you have a, I think it's only on Switch and Steam. I don't think it's on Xbox or PlayStation.
I think that is right.
But if you have a Switch, pick it up. $20. I would say it's worth it. And also to my understanding, because me and you did the same ending. You can, when you reload your game after you finish it, it technically reloads right before your ending. And so you could continue on to see all 9 different endings if you chose to do so without having to start a new save. And so theoretically, you're getting a decent bit of mileage out of it if you want to see all of it. And yeah, man. Yeah, I kind of set it down when I finished. I'm like, I need a minute. Because that ending is a very hopeful, but also like a very sad ending. Kind of like it leaves you with a punch in the gut toward, by the end of it. And I'm just like, I'm going to need a few minutes just to stew on this because... wow, you know,
yeah it's an incredibly thoughtful game and really well written, and I came away from it being like very, it was very thought-provoking, and I very much enjoyed my time with it.
So outside of that, haven't really been playing a ton. We talked about it a little bit ahead of time because there's so many shows out right now, Chris. So many. Obi-Wan is out. Great show, obviously. Been watching The Boys on Amazon Prime. Man, get your ducks.
You've been watching The Boys.
You're
always watching The Boys.
Yeah, get your ducks down ready because, man, what a f***ed up show that is. Like, there are times where I'm like, yeah, did I'm watching this. That is happening right now. Yep. Oh, that... There's whenever you watch it, we have to talk about it because immediately in the first like 10 minutes of season 3, I'm like, I know what's going to happen here. And sure enough, it happens. I'm like, that's just horrible. That is absolutely disgusting. Who approved this?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Peaky Blinders is out and I need to watch Miss Marvel as well. So it's just kind of like they decided to release all the good shows this year, all in the same like 3-week span, which is cool, but it's kind of where I'm at. Though I do plan to kind of jump into Elden Ring again. I've taken like a slight little break after the Radahn fight just because I had to decompress. I think we'll jump back in that. once we wrap up a little bit later. But that's kind of really all I got. I'm playing Football Manager still, you know.
Very nice.
It's going great. Going very, very great. And what about you, Chris?
Are you gonna play the new Football Manager, Mario's Football Extravaganza?
Oh, you mean Mario Strikers? Yes, I did order Mario Strikers, and I will be playing that ahead of time next week. So be ready. I will have a review. Also downloaded the Fire Emblem Three Hopes demo. I plan to play that as well. Still don't know how I feel about it. Fire Emblem Three Houses is top tier game. Falls into my top 10 all-time list, maybe top 5 all-time list. I don't know. I've never really written that down. I think that'd be a tough one to do. That is if there's any game on the Switch that you're just looking to play and you haven't done it yet, Fire Emblem Three Houses, that's your ticket. Just buy it. But I'm worried about the Musou style that they're bringing to this. I'm not a big Musou fan, you know, but again, Persona 5 Strikers, I kind of just like push past that for the characters and story, and I think that's what I'll be doing for this one as well. So yeah,
that's what I've heard. I haven't downloaded the demo yet, but at least the stuff that I've seen about the demo, people have said like, I mean, basically like if you liked Three Houses, you should play Three Hopes because from what I understand, there's a lot of Three Houses stuff in there where you're building up relationships and you're, you know, having those, like that kind of interaction, and you're changing classes and you're doing, I mean, it's a lot of that, just a different fighting style. I mean, and from what I heard, I mean, like it's Musou stuff, but I mean, the people who have talked about it, who were like, yeah, I loved Three Houses, but I'm really enjoying this. Like that makes me hopeful and more excited about it. That, okay, like at the very least, I will play it and enjoy it, and it's more Three Houses, and I can deal with that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I've been, so I finished up Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, you did. Thoughts? Tell me all about it.
So I definitely enjoyed the like latter half of it more than I did the beginning. I mean, it's by and large, like I was invested for the story most of the way through. But I think the combination of like, you know, it felt clunky. It felt like it was overly like confusing, like some of the navigation and the maps and stuff like just felt confusing at points. Like I didn't know where I was going. And it seemed like it was just like, it was trying to be a Metroid game or it was trying to be an Uncharted game or it was trying to be like a Dark Souls game and just wasn't as good at doing those things as the original games were, that it was almost kind of frustrating because it was, you know, I'd try to jump and I would miss the jump and I'm like, it doesn't like, I hit that. It should have locked on. He should have grabbed it. But like, I mean, but then he fell and it was like, this is just, it felt unnecessarily frustrating in some spots.
I get what
just
you mean.
For just how clunky it was. But like, by and large, like it's a shame that Star Wars games like haven't like at different points have taken so much time off from being made just because like, it's a wonderful property that has a lot of potential. And so like, you know, playing the game, I really enjoyed just like a nice new Star Wars story, even though like some of it was kind of clunky. And like, that's the thing too, is the thing that brought me into wanting to play it was the fact that they announced the sequel.
Yep.
And most of that stuff, the clunky stuff, things like that. I mean, that's stuff that can all be remedied and fixed. I mean, it's not anything that I'm worried about going to do another one, but you know, like it was enjoyable. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I'm excited for part two to it. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And then as a follow-up to that, because I'm still just kind of like rocketing through a backlog, I played another Respawn game. Respawn being the people that made that Star Wars game. Titanfall 2 started it. And I'm almost done with it, I think. campaign. The campaign's only like 6 hours.
Talk to me about it though, because everything I've heard of Titanfall 2's campaign is that it is like S tier. It is like top of the line.
It is so this is kind of what I was alluding to at the beginning whenever I was talking about like kind of moving on from certain things, is like, you know, looking at Call of Duty being shown off, like when I was in high school and in college, like Call of Duty was my jam. Like I wanted to play Call of Duty. I wanted to like play with my friends. I really loved just being able to eat up this kind of stuff. And like nowadays, I don't know if it's, you know, the climate of the world. I don't know if it's being a dad and just like not having as much accessibility to be able to actively engage with like multiplayer games. But like, I have next to no interest in something like Call of Duty. And I kind of feel the same way with like Titanfall, where it was like, I started playing it and it wanted me to be so excited about like this bombastic, like military men and their like big guns and all of the stuff that they were doing. And I was like, I don't care. I don't care about what you're doing. I don't care about like,
you don't want to go hoorah.
No, I mean, it was, and again, I mean, I think a lot of it is like, it becomes more and more difficult as an American to like see gun violence and things be on the rise and to look at guns as being this like, okay, I'm going to recreationally go and shoot people in the face.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I never really felt that way. Like, it's never been a thing that's like I'm not in the market of like video games make, you know, people violent because they're not like that's not a thing. That's not an issue. That's not something that's going on, but it's still just like, it's that thing where it's like, okay, the recreational nature of it. Like I'm moving away from like that being something that I'm seeking for relaxation or that I'm seeking for like recreational enjoyment is just a war simulator. I'm like, I want away from this. And
I get it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And so I started out with Titanfall 2 very much kind of in that mode. At this point, like I think there's something like 8 or 9 mainline missions. I think I'm on like 6 or 7 okay. right now. It definitely like picks up to be a much more like interesting sci-fi story. Okay. So I played like the big game or the big like level that they talk about as being like the best thing right. is the level called Effect and Cause, where you're like switching back and forth between like time, like you're right.
yeah.
Part of it's doing it by itself, and then like part of it you have a device that's actively letting you control it, and that level is really neat. Like it does a lot of really neat stuff because you're having to switch back and forth to navigate the environment. You know, this wall's closed, and so you're having to switch to the past so that you can get past it because it's on fire now, and like you're trying to go yeah. and like it makes the combat really interesting because like, you know, you can run into a room where they're like 80 guys and then just like switch over and then like run behind them and like pop back in and shoot right. them. Like there's a lot of really neat stuff in there. I will say like it didn't blow me away in the way that like I feel like it could have or should have necessarily. Like
fair, yeah.
I think around the same time as whenever like Dishonored 2 came out and they had a similar level, like they had a time travel level and they had the Clockwork Mansion level, like really neat design okay. levels. I think those are more interesting. I think those are a lot more like intricate and really like potentially neat.
Just better done.
Not better done. It's just like, I think in general, like, you know, again, at the end of it, like this is just, you're switching back and forth between time and just running and shooting and stuff. I mean, there's okay. like, yeah. But the thing that I will give it is like, Titanfall 2 in general, like the amount of like kinetic energy in it is really cool.
Okay.
Because you are like actively, so many of the levels are like, there's one level where you're in like a manufacturing plant and they're like basically making these prefab like houses and okay. stuff with, so I mean like you're following along this assembly line and you're having to like, you know, the platform will turn sideways. So you're having to wall run off of it and bounce over here and then like slide through this thing. Like there's a lot of just really nice feeling kinetic energy. So like mm-hmm. when it comes down to it, like, yeah, it feels really, once you kind of get into it a little bit, feels really good to play. Very smooth, very interesting. I'm not super into the whole story of it because it is just kind of like a hoorah army right. story. Yeah. There's some neat sci-fi elements. There's, you know, that whole time travel stuff. That's kind of cool. There's a lot of like neat stuff in that. And I could see like go back 6-7 years, like whenever it came out, like it being this like, whoa, this is a revelation. This yeah. is just amazing. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the place that I'm in right now is like, it's very difficult for me to get like super excited about this to like
I mean,
play it and just be like, so into like, man, this is so badass. This yeah. is so freaking cool. Like, I'm just, it's, you know, it's neat. The Titan stuff is kind of cool. Like that element of things kind of bouncing back and forth with it is neat. Like being able to get in your robot and then like have a sword and be able to like, you yep. know, just slash at another robot and, you know, like stuff like that. Kind of neat. But yeah, you know, I'd say it's definitely worth playing cause it is kind of cool. And
I have it. I just haven't played it yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's kinetic and it like feels really good to play and there's some interesting levels, and feels kind of like Mirror's Edge ish at points. Oh. But,
it's a great game.
But yeah. You know, it's, I'm glad that I'm playing through it because, yeah, I mean, it definitely has that pedigree that it's like this thing that everybody should play. So yeah, I'm enjoying okay. it. I'll finish up with it. I mean, could be next sitting I finish up yeah. with it, but I'll, finish up with it soon, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, nice. Sounds like a nice little round of games that you've been kind of clearing through It's a great time to get through your backlog, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where I really want to be done with Elden Ring so I can do that. I think I said that last week, but I really also want to finish Elden Ring at the same time. So I'm kind of stuck getting a foot in both wells of like, I want to beat this, but I want to be done with it. It's going to turn into one of those things of where you're going to somehow be awake at like 3 a.m. helping out your daughter and just get on PlayStation. And it's going to be me, Elden Ring. You're like, you good? I'm like, no, I'm not. But that's where it's going to lead.
I've been here for 20 hours. And your luck would be, you finish it up and 10 seconds later, they announce the DLC.
They announce the DLC. Yeah, no, that's what I'm like terrified about. That's what I was watching through. Like, don't announce the Elden Ring DLC. Don't announce the Elden Ring DLC.
Yeah.
I know they're going to. I know they're going to sometime. Yeah. And it's just one of the things of like, please just let me rest.
Yep.
But
Corey, next episode, we'll probably, I mean, I would venture a guess that there'll be some cool stuff shown off of the Xbox Bethesda thing. Could be wrong. I mean, if there isn't, like, I feel like that's an oversight given how many developers they have under their belt. But
if they don't light the world on fire with, it's a missed opportunity with how dead essentially Nintendo and Sony is being. Like, it's a wide open door to be like, yo, look what we got.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. So I'm expecting next week we'll have some cool stuff to talk about. But Corey, until then, where can people find you on the internet?
Shoo. They can find me over on Instagram at #SlingingThrasher. Ooh, ooh, ooh. We're over on Twitter at StayThrashy. But always and most importantly, follow us over at @Arcade_Cozy for all of your cozy needs. Cozy gaming needs. What about you, Chris? Where can our peeps find you?
You can find us at Arcade Cozy on Instagram. You can find me personally as well at 4.pixel on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter at SwissFunJoe on the blue tweeters. If you would like to email us, you can arcadecozy@gmail.com. And as always, our intro music, Johnny B. Good 89 Johnny on Instagram. Good. Check him out and see him. But yeah, Corey, this has been Arcade Cozy. Life is hectic. Why should your hobbies be too?
There you go.
Yeah. Soon.
Love you guys. Bye-bye. Take it easy.